Well, if you want to turn to, grab your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to continue the study in this letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. As you're turning there, I got to tell you, I am really excited about this passage. I really, really am excited about these truths here. It really hit me. So I hope it just hits you like maybe it hit me this week as I was just finishing touches on it. If you have been here for the last few weeks, you know we started 1 Corinthians a few weeks ago, and we're going through this letter that Paul wrote to the church there in Corinth. And you probably also know that the church in Corinth wasn't doing that well. As we go through this, you're going to see Paul bringing up some particular, specific problems that the church has. He hasn't really done that yet. He's really being general, and I think he's doing it on purpose because he's laying the foundation, which I think that all of these problems that he's going to bring up are actually rooted in. And that's what Paul does. He just lays the foundation and says, what's the deep-rooted problem here? And if you have been with us a few weeks ago, we saw that he just right off the bat said your problem is that you're not acting like who you are. You're not being like who God made you to be. And then he goes on and he says the reason for that, which is what I'm saying, what I see here, is the reason for it is because this church, the root problem was they were allowing themselves to be culturally formed rather than biblically formed. As a disciple of Jesus, we're to allow ourselves to be biblically formed. But I see this church going, you know what, we're going to allow the culture to let us know what is true and what's not true, what's right, what's wrong. And we'll let the culture form us, especially in the area of wisdom. And that's what's been brought up over the last couple of weeks. The Greek-Roman culture there, of course, was really into wisdom. Wisdom was where the answers were. Human wisdom was where you got all of the answers you needed in life. And as Brad brought up a couple of weeks ago, doesn't matter how much wisdom we have, it can't handle the real problems in our lives. It can't answer the problem of sin. Only Jesus Christ and Him crucified answers that problem. And yet the wisdom of the world looked at Jesus Christ and crucified and said, that's crazy. Then Jared last week, if you were here, he mentioned about how there's no power in the wisdom of the world. The only power is in Jesus and Jesus crucified. So Paul has been just really laying out logically, just going, the wisdom of the world, there's nothing to it. It can't help you. And then today, I think we're just going to look at the passage that he's going to finish up in chapter 2. And he changes gears just a little bit, I think, to say, hold it, I want to make sure you guys know I'm not against wisdom. Because he's been really making a case. Wisdom is bad. Wisdom is bad. And so just in case you're going, okay, wisdom is bad, so we're not going to learn anything. Wisdom is terrible. He says, no, 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 wisdom isn't bad, just the wrong kind of wisdom. But let me share with you what real wisdom is. And then let me share with you how to get that wisdom. And then let me share with you what to do with it once you have it. That's really what he's going over today. And honestly, that's great for me. That's why I'm so excited. Because honestly, don't you want to know what real wisdom is? Don't you really want to know how to get it? If it's there, how do I get it? And then seriously, don't you want to know what you can do with it? It's powerful. So let's just look. Let's just read through 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6, and we'll go actually through the rest of the chapter through verse 16. Just read that with me. Verse 6, it says, yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There is a lot in this passage, and I hope that just in the few minutes we have, we can just unravel a little bit of it together. So let's just do that. Let's just go back. Just take one thing at a time here. Look at verse 6, where Paul just begins and says, yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. We talk about wisdom. We share wisdom with the mature, although it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. Paul's just saying right off the bat, I'm all for wisdom if it's the right kind of wisdom, but the wisdom that you guys are getting, you Corinthian church, you're not getting the right kind of wisdom. That's just wisdom that's going to come and go. It doesn't stand the test of time, but there is one that does. See the next verse in verse 7, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. He contrasts this wisdom and says, the wisdom you're getting is just coming and going. It changes. It dies off with the people who give it to you. But there is a wisdom that does last. There is a wisdom that does stand the test of time that you can honestly put your anchor in and it will never move. And it's a wisdom that God himself decreed before the ages. That was true way back then is still true today and will be true tomorrow. Do you know there are truths that will always be true? There are things that have always been right and always will be right. There are things that have always been the truth and will always be the truth. There's things that have always been a lie and will always be a lie. And it's from this God and only from this God who stands the test of time. Now, contrast that with the wisdom of the world, Paul's saying, and the wisdom of the world just comes and goes, and that's true for us. I think, just think about it. Just think about it for a minute. Just in practical things, I don't even know about like deep things. I'm talking about just shallow things. I don't know whether to eat dairy anymore or not. I mean, seriously, I hear like one day it's good, and then what I hear the next week, it's bad. Don't eat it at all. There's these diets that we get, you know, oh, do this diet. This is the best thing for you. It's been tested. It's been proven. And then what happens like 2 years later? That's the worst thing you could ever do for you. Don't be doing that diet. Do this one instead. Do you notice that? That's just in health. We can't even get wisdom in health and hygiene. There was a time in human history where the wisdom honestly said that if you had a fever, what we should do is we should drill a hole in your skull so that we let those evil spirits that are causing that fever come out with the blood. That's wise. But seriously, I think that some of us think, but you know, yeah, that was a long time ago, archaic, but now we're in the generation that has it all worked out. We got to figure it out now, right? Are we that arrogant that we think that we got the answers now? I don't know, you guys. I guess I'm just guessing this, but I'm going to say, I'll make a prediction. In 100 years from now, people are going to look back at us and the ideas that we have and the wisdom that we have, and they're going to say, are you serious? They thought that? That's going to happen, isn't it? We might know what those are yet because we've already bought into them, but they'll die off. And so that makes us start thinking, is there anything that won't die off? Is there anything that won't change? And that's just in the health area. Think about with morality, how things change. You know, homosexuality used to be wrong, and now it's right. Divorce used to be wrong. Now it's okay. I mean, those things just changed. Abortion was wrong. Now it's okay. And we go, why? How did that change? How did that deep morality change? Well, I'll tell you why. It's built on something really solid. We voted on it. Really? Is that what you want to throw your anchor in? But there is a truth that's always been the truth. There is someone who does hold that, and it's mentioned in here. It's just mentioned as the secret and hidden wisdom of God. The secret and hidden wisdom of God. And just like it's showing there, it's not something you're going to find very easily, and it's not found by the natural man. It's not going to be found by the culture around us and the wisdom of the culture around us, just like it wasn't found in the Corinthian culture back then. But it's held by God. Seriously, don't you want that wisdom? Let me just show you just how Paul just describes it right here in just these passages. He calls it in this verse, the secret and hidden wisdom of God. He describes this wisdom later on as the depths of God, the thoughts of God, the things of God, spiritual truths, the mind of the Lord, the mind of Christ. That's just what he explains it, how he describes it in these verses. Don't you want that? If you're thinking, well, what is that? What is this? It's kind of what it says. It's the mind of Christ. One person has said that real true wisdom is being able to look at things in life and to be able to look at them the way that God looks at them. Wouldn't you love to be able to look at something in your life, to look at decisions and dilemmas and everything else, and be able to see what the God of the universe, the creator of everyone and everything, thinks about that? That you'd actually have his mind and be able to see it with his eyes. I would love that. I want that. I need that. And I especially think of that because of what he says here, that he decreed these truths for our glory. Did you notice that he says that? For our glory, for our benefit. I came up with these truths and I came up with what was right and wrong for you, PJ. Wow. So you would actually know me and actually understand. This is wisdom. Knowing God for who God is, the one true God. Knowing how he relates to us. Knowing who we are, what our purpose, what our meaning is in life. This is a lot deeper than hygiene. Our purpose, our meaning in life, what we were meant, what we were placed on this planet for, how we were meant to relate to him, how we were meant to relate to each other. That's wisdom. And how about you? I hope I just whet your appetite because I'm going, I want that. But this, what's said here, it's he just flat out says it's secret and it's hidden. You're not going to get that from people. It's not going to be. We're not going to be the source of that. In fact, he even says this in verse 8. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for they, if they had understood this wisdom, if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I love how Paul's just saying this, and how I imagine this is this. If you could embody the wisdom of God, do you know who took on that embodiment of the wisdom of God? Jesus. Jesus. A way to look at Jesus, he is the wisdom of God wrapped up in bodily form. And what did they do to this wisdom of God? Killed it. Crucified him. That just shows that they didn't understand. And they would never understand this hidden and secret wisdom. So for me, when I read that verse, I go, well, thanks a lot, Paul. Now you're saying that there is true wisdom. There really is something that we can seek in, which I think people really want, honestly. If you're like me, I really think the world around us really wants that wisdom, but they're convinced it doesn't even exist. But it does. God has it. But now, if I just read to that verse, I'm going, but I can't even get it. And I love it that Paul doesn't just end the argument there. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing to teach? Hey, you guys, there's this wisdom of in the world, and there's wisdom that you can, you know, that's right and true and always will be, but it's secret and hidden. So good luck. Let's pray. Yeah. But he doesn't end there. Look what he says in verse 9. That's the wisdom, but there is a way to get it. He says, but, I love but, as it is written, and he's quoting from Isaiah, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. You know what he's saying? He's quoting Isaiah and saying, you know what? There's something that nobody has ever heard. Nobody can even see. We can't even see this wisdom of God. And even mankind on his own could not even imagine these truths. And then he says, what God has prepared for those who love him. Paul's saying it is available. It's available to anyone who enters into a relationship, a personal relationship with this God. It's available to that person. God has prepared it for you. If you are in this room, honestly, you're going, I have handed my life over to Jesus Christ. I have put my faith in him and so entered into that loving relationship with God himself. Guess what? The secret and hidden wisdom of God is available to you. And to me. And now I got to tell you, I'm going, okay, keep going, man. Keep going, because how do I get it? You know, if it's available to me, where is it? You know, I still want to see it. You know, I accepted Jesus. I have that loving relationship with him. So how's that all work out? And then that's what Paul just keeps on explaining. Look at verse 10. He says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we're going to just stop right there. I just want us to just kind of just eat this little piece of this little nugget right here. But Paul is just saying here, and he's presented to the Corinthians and to us, hey, the wisdom of God is for us, and I'll tell you this truth. God the Father is not the only one that has his wisdom. There's someone else who has access to the wisdom of God. And you can see here in this passage, who does Paul bring up who has access, total access to the wisdom of God? The Holy Spirit. Now we're kind of getting to the Trinity here where you have God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Trinity is, it just comes from word three. It's three absolutely separate personalities, actually separate people, but by the way, they're one person. And if you went, huh? Then I probably explained it really well back then. So that's the Trinity. This is the three, but he's a separate person of this Trinity. The third person of this Trinity, the Holy Spirit, knows the mind of God. And he just gives a little correlation so we can understand it as human beings. You know, your thoughts in your mind, who knows your thoughts in your mind? I don't know them. I guess I know what you tell me, but then I don't even know if you're telling me the truth. Your spirit knows your thoughts. Your spirit knows your mind. And he just says, similarly, the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God the Father. So I go, wow, that's great, Paul. You're telling me that God the Father is not the only one who knows the mind, that somebody else has access to his mind, but you haven't told me I have access to his mind yet. You told me that the third person of the Trinity has access to his mind. How is that going to help me? And then he says it. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. That is an amazing sentence. Do you understand this? Do we even appreciate this? Every single one of us, if you have entered into a relationship with Jesus, you have trusted him with your life. And maybe you know this, but just reflect on this. The Holy Spirit himself has come into your life and what the Bible calls has indwelt you. Every single Christian, every single believer, every single person who has entered into this relationship with Jesus has received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come into every single one of us who has a relationship with him and has made you his home. In fact, Paul even talks about it later in the letter. He says, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's making his residence in you. He lives within you. And remember, what does the Holy Spirit have access to? The mind of God. And he lives within you to give you the access that he has, to reveal to you the access that he has to this wisdom, this depth, this truth, this stuff that we can anchor our lives in to know that's right and always right, true and always true. We have access to it because the person who has access to it himself lives within every single one of us who has decided to hand our life over to him. That's amazing. That is truly amazing. And I think, well, okay, so how does it work then? If the Holy Spirit is in my life, because I don't know about you, I'm just a little thick-headed, so that's why I keep asking these questions. But I go, so how does this work then? Okay, I have the Holy Spirit. I don't feel any wiser. You know, I don't hear like this voice in my mind, hey, PJ, you need to start doing this now, seriously. Okay, he's there. That's never happened to me. I got to tell you, that's never happened to me. So how do I know this wisdom from God? I still don't get it. I've never had some kind of, what I think of mystical or some kind of weird thing that's happened to me, and I keep thinking maybe that's what's supposed to happen, but it's not. I really believe, maybe you're going to relate to me, but after reading this, I realized that I have not been given the Holy Spirit credit at all in my life for the things that I know. I have this whole time thought that I have been coming up with these things on my own. You know? According to this passage, honestly, think about this. This is a huge truth. According to this passage, according to this book, there is no spiritual truth that we come across and that we understand apart from the Holy Spirit revealing it to us. Did you get that? None. There's not any spiritual truth that you know, a truth about God, how God looks at things, unless the Holy Spirit himself reveals it to you, because it's secret and hidden, and it has to be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. Do you know, and you're going, well, I don't know how the Holy Spirit ever worked in my life. Let me just ask you this. Do you know any spiritual truth at all? Do you know any real truth from God? any truth. If you're a follower of Jesus, I know at least one. You understand who Jesus is, what he has done for you. You understood what you were in sin, that you had displeased God, that you could not stand up to where his standard. You understood that you could do nothing about it. You understood that Jesus went ahead and paid the price for you to buy you back, and you understand that the way to become right with God is to hand my life over to him by faith, just to trust him with my life, and that by that, that's how I'm made righteous. Do you understand that? Congratulations, the Holy Spirit has just worked in your life. Oh, no. I understood that because that speaker up there explained it to me really well. No. Now, I understood it because I've been reading a lot, and I got this cool Bible program now. You know, and I can check out all the Greek words and everything else, and I have really studied hard, and I read it over and over again, and finally my IQ got high enough to where I finally grasped it with my mind, and that's how, no. The natural man can never understand that. The Holy Spirit revealed it to you, and you decided to finally listen to him. But I didn't hear any voice. I know. I love it. If you want to read about the Holy Spirit, seriously, just write this down. John 13 through 17. It's where Jesus talks to his disciples, these 11 guys who honestly weren't any brighter than me. Probably were a little brighter, a couple of them. But he writes to the, he's talking to these guys and introducing the Holy Spirit to them. They have no idea who the Holy Spirit is. So it's a great four chapters to read. Four or five chapters to read because it introduces the Holy Spirit and we can understand it. Let me just share with you a couple of things that he shared with those guys in the room right before he went to the cross. In chapter 16, verse 8, he actually says, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to convict you of sin and righteousness and judgment. Have you ever been convinced of sin in your life? Have you ever been looked at your life and said, man, this is not pleasing to God? You think you figured that out? You didn't figure that out. The Holy Spirit revealed that to you. I know what's right here. I know what's right in this situation. I know how God sees what's right in this situation. You think you figured that out? Holy Spirit revealed that to you. And then I think, well, how does he actually work here, you know, in my life? And actually in chapter 14, verse 25 and 26, Jesus tells his disciples, you know, I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to tell you something. When the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to bring to your remembrance everything that you've heard from me. Hold it. I just going around in life and this thought just kind of comes in my mind. And I think it's because I have a really good memory. No, it's not. It's because the Holy Spirit brought that to your memory. And we just didn't give him credit. Boy, he gets a shaft, doesn't he? I think sometimes we're patting ourselves on the back saying, man, good study, or man, okay, you were listening today. And you know what? I got to tell you something. I don't think the Holy Spirit's bothered by that much. I don't think he wants the attention on him anyway. His job is to have the attention on Jesus. That's who he wants the attention to be on anyway. But for us, maybe we still need to realize how much the Holy Spirit has already been working in your life. Maybe you just haven't even realized it yet until right now, and you're going, wow, you mean anything that I know that's spiritually true? Yeah. It's from him? He's the one that had me understand that and brought that to my mind and helped me remember. Yeah. Yeah. It's not because you wrote it on a 3x5 card and finally got it down. It's the Holy Spirit. That's what he's done. That humbles me. It makes me dependent on him. I understand. And look at verse 13, just going on with the passage. He gets a little bit more. He says, and we impart, this is Paul talking, and we impart this wisdom, in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. I think Paul now is saying, let me tell you what we've done with these truths that kind of work with the Holy Spirit for you to honestly understand the truth and have wisdom in your life. I think Paul honestly is talking about him and the other apostles and other people who have written God's word, who have honestly, they have gotten God's truth. They didn't come up with it either. They couldn't get it either. They got it from the Holy Spirit too. As Peter said, people who wrote the scripture were moved by the Holy Spirit. They didn't come up with these ideas on their own. They couldn't. And as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, this now is in writing. This book right here is in writing for us to look at and see the truths of God, the wisdom of God. But just reading this, the Holy Spirit still comes in our life, and he, when we're reading this, he, it's what's called illumination. The Holy Spirit who lives within us illuminates the word, and just, it means kind of what it sounds like it means. It brings to light what's here. So that a little, have you ever had the little light bulb go on? When you're reading something, you're like, I don't get this at all. And you read it like the third time, the fourth time, and suddenly like, click, woo, I got that. And again, way to go, man. You read it. We should be going, oh, thank you for revealing that to me. He's the one that's revealed it to you. He's the one working in your life. He's the one working in my life. And he imparts these words that were just written to us by Paul and those other guys who were moved by the Holy Spirit is now available to us so that when we read it, we just keep reading it. And he shows us, and suddenly we have this understanding and we know what it's talking about. That's the Holy Spirit working in our life, giving us the wisdom that we could never come up with on our own and we could never understand on our own. As it even keeps going, you notice in verse 14, the natural person does not understand the things, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. A natural person on their own will never understand this. Ever. It's foolishness. So anytime that I understand it, it's the Holy Spirit working in my life. Now I'm just going to mention this. For any of us out here that are going, well, okay, so I understand the Holy Spirit. Any truth I know is from the Holy Spirit. And I know about, I think, three things now. Yeah, that I got down. And this guy over here knows so much more. Understands some. How come the Holy Spirit's working in this guy's life over there? Come on, Holy Spirit, you know, show me more. And I keep going, what is with this guy over here? You know, come on. And I just want to tell you, if that's how you feel, like, I just want the Holy Spirit to reveal to me more. I'm willing to know more. Come on, turn on the light bulbs. Turn them all on. And we're so impatient with it. But I understand that, and I want to tell you something. You're not alone. You're with good company. There was these 11 guys that were walking with Jesus for 3 years. And you know how much they understood at the end of that 3 years? Not much. And yet, you know what? I think they turned out okay. Didn't they? And it just took time. You know, Jesus actually told them on that same night when he was talking to them about the Holy Spirit, he said, you know what? There's so much more I want to tell you. There's so much more truth I want to tell you tonight before I leave you, but you can't handle it. You can't bear it, is what he said. And then he says, but when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And I love that as a guide, it has the picture that he's guiding you through life one truth at a time. One truth at a time. And he's working with each one of us differently because he meets us exactly where we are all at and we're all at different places and he takes us exactly where we need to go and we need to get there. And it's not a cookie cutter thing. He just goes, you know what? This is how it's best way to deal with you. The best way to deal with you and show you this truth, and I'm going to just keep on working in your life just like he did with his disciples. That's how he works. He becomes our life guide that just kind of guides with us, sticks with us through life as we continue to read God's word. And maybe the first time through, you're going, I got two things out of that. And the second time through, you're going, click, something else. And the third time through, you're going, whoa, I'm understanding a little bit more. The Holy Spirit's even showing me a little bit more. And the fourth time through, and some of you are going, wait a minute, we got to read this more than once? Yeah, it'd be a good idea. There's some things you can't handle right now. He knows what you can. But you stick with it. And he'll reveal to you exactly how you need to know something if you stay faithful and continue to just read this and say, I'm willing to change my thinking into this kind of thinking. Holy Spirit, I want you to show me. He'll be faithful on your journey. That's the Holy Spirit working in your life. I think, wow, there's a wisdom that's available. There is a way it's made access to me, and it's miraculous the way it has been. It has nothing to do with me and my brains. Isn't that great? And my intelligence. It's just my willingness to let him biblically form me instead of the culture biblically forming me. Now what do I do with it? You guys, honestly, there's some of us in this room, maybe even knew all this stuff. You're going, yeah, I know that. Yeah, that's good. Good reminder. Yeah, I've got a lot of biblical truth down. Holy Spirit, thank you. You know, I realize he's the one who showed me that. And we just, okay, what do we do with it now? Do we just make sure everybody else kind of talk and share with other people and stuff and say, yeah, I know that too. And I know that truth too. And what do we do with it? And I see that Paul, honestly, in verse 15, that's where I left off. Look at verse 15. Paul tells them, tells the Corinthian church and tells us what we do with this spiritual truth. The spiritual person judges all things in verse 15, but he himself is to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? He's just saying the spiritual person can judge things in life and doesn't have to be worried about the world around him or her judging you, judging that person, because judging you, if you're walking around with the mind of Christ, if you're walking around the way he thinks, and somebody else says, I think that's wrong, don't worry about it. They're not really judging your mind anyway, are they? Whose mind are they really making a judgment on? God's mind. And I think God can handle that. He can handle that criticism. He really can. But we can walk around confidently in this world going, okay, I do understand this truth. This truth is always that has always been and always will be. And I'm not going to fold from it. I'm not going to just back away because the people around me have all voted something different. I know what the truth is. You allow the Holy Spirit as he biblically forms you to then become morally discerning in your life. That you can now look at life. You can look at things in your home. You can look at things at your work. You can look at the relationships you have, wherever you are in life, and you're able to now discern what is right, what is wrong, what is true, what is not true, what is good, what is bad, what the purpose of your life is in that situation. You can now start discerning that and start acting on that. And I'm going to say this, that you need to do that because people don't necessarily do that. People can have the Holy Spirit and never act on it. In fact, Jared next week, who's going to be teaching, is going to show us how the Corinthian church, they had the Holy Spirit, but they didn't apply it. They didn't access him and honestly let him change their thinking. And he's going to talk about that more next week, but that what do? We need to let him change our thinking so that we become morally discerning people. And then as we become morally discerning, that we would actually, instead of having the culture shape us, we begin to think, how can I engage the culture around me? Because get this, you guys, it's sad in verse 14. The world around us will never understand the truths of God. Never. Unless they have the Holy Spirit. We need to take this truth that we have and I think sometimes this is what can happen. I think we can go, here's a little bubble that we live in. You know, like, okay, and the reason why we live this is we go, okay, I am morally discerning. I've let the Holy Spirit, you know, show me the truth. And nobody around me, the whole world around me they see everything upside down and what's black is white to them. And they're just, it's scary. So let's just huddle up with everybody else who thinks the same way as I do and morally discerning in the same way that we discern things. And now we're happy and now we're comfortable. Whew, and we're safe, aren't we? Is that really what we want to do? Because you know what? That world around us will never know the truth if we stay in this bubble. Oh yeah, but they got it all wrong anyway, and their thinking is so bad anyway, and they're just going to hell in a handbasket. And you know what? Literally, that is what's happening. And yet, seriously, after knowing this truth, were we any different than they? Are we any different? Would we think any different than the world around us thinks without the Holy Spirit? The answer is no way. We are just like them. The only difference is that the Holy Spirit has graciously shown us truth in our life, and the Holy Spirit wants to show them truth too. And who's going to share that with them? Who? Us. We need to engage the world around us with what we know. Guys, now I'm just going to say this. I think there's a couple ways that people do this. People go, okay, yeah, let's go out and do demonstrations. Let's go out and do arguments and debate and then, you know, debate about the truth. And let's, you know what, we're going to pass laws. We're going to pass laws that are moral laws, that God's, the laws that God would want. That's what we do. You know, and I'm not saying that's wrong. We should do that. We should be light and salt in the world. We need to show them, and that's great to show them. But do you think that's really going to change our culture? According to this passage, when I read God's word, I'm going to tell you, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to change someone, because no matter how many debates we win and no matter how many facts we lay out, well, this is all true. Do you know what the world sees? It's a natural person will look at God's morality, and what do they think it is? Foolishness. The only way they're going to understand it is if they have who in their life? The Holy Spirit. And the only way they're going to get the Holy Spirit is by who? By Jesus, as they decide to hand their life over to him. Sometimes we put the cart before the horse. We need to change our society, you know, our morals of our society. That's what we need to do. We're slapping Band-Aids. I'm being honest, that's what I see. Is it wrong to do that? No, we should engage the culture in that way and say, okay, this is what's right, and I'm going to stand up for what's right. But if we truly want to change, a change in the culture around us, if we really want to change in people around us, it will never happen with however many arguments we win and however many picket signs we make and no matter how many times we go out there. It will continue to look like foolishness to them until the Holy Spirit gets a hold of their life. So I'm going to just challenge us in this way, that maybe if we really want to change culture, it's introducing them to the only one that can change their thinking. And it's not going to be us. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. That we would introduce people to Jesus. Our message is Jesus. That we would say, you need Jesus. This is who Jesus is. And give them that truth. Give them the words of wisdom. And then allow the Holy Spirit to work in their life. And let him turn on that light bulb after we've shared with them. Just like he did with us. None of us came up with truth on our own. They won't either. But we need to engage. And I would suggest that it is going to be way more change in people's lives around us, one conversation at a time, one engagement at a time, one relationship at a time. And our message isn't about all the morality stuff. The message is going to be Jesus. So that when they decide to hand their life over to him, the Holy Spirit indwells them. And do you know what he's going to do with them? He's going to become their life guide too. And meet them exactly where they're at, just like he met us. And take them through the journey of life, showing them truth. That's how it's done. So all of us here that are humbly submitted to Jesus, let's allow the Holy Spirit to biblically form us. Let's go to the Word and let him illuminate it to us so that we can understand it. And then let's apply it to our life, becoming morally discerning people, and then going out so that we can go out and become culturally engaged in the world around us to share with them the truth that we have. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that we would, first of all, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Even now, I think some of us just need to appreciate that. We have been taking you for granted, but we're not going to do that anymore. We understand that anything we know is completely dependent on you, and humbly, we thank you. None of us are going to pat ourselves on the back because we don't know anything without you. And Lord, because that's true, we also understand that no one knows anything without you. And no one can understand truth without you. So Lord, I pray for us. I pray for us as a church. I pray for us as individuals that we would not have the culture, let the culture form us, but we would allow ourselves to be biblically formed as we allow the word illuminated by the Holy Spirit to change our lives, to become morally discerning people. And we would engage culture one encounter at a time. And we pray these in your name, and we thank you for what you've given us, way more than we deserve. In your name, amen.